Good afternoon. The time is 12:06 and you're tuned to 89.1 FM WBOI. This is Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters. And if you have a question or comment throughout today's show, give us a call at 260-452-1185. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio by my art-centric partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Hello, Sarah. And it's not only the last art-centric Friday of the month. It's decidedly midwinter out there, as Sean just told us, snow's on the way. So DID's Tenna Winker is here to share downtown's last Saturday excitement, which is certainly seasonally significant. And joining her in this mission is Chuck Redinger from Parks and Recreation's Community Center. Then we're grabbing a seat in the front row because it's Drama Times 3 in our second Last Friday segment, and First Press Theater's Tom Hofrichter is ready with a February preview of all things stage side in the area, and he's all set to discuss the inside scoop on IPFW and the Fort Wayne Youth Theater's latest collaborative adventure, to be sure, Oliver. But before all of that, as we love to do, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip for you, a sparkling gem from the treasure trove of art centricity out there in the Fortland this weekend. You won't want to miss. What's your pick, Sarah?
My pick, and this may, we might be hearing more about this from Tenna, salsa dance lessons at Arts United tomorrow, Saturday. Lori Keys is going to be teaching them, and the lessons start at 7:30 and go until 9:30 or 10. There will be some refreshments, and Arts United Center, if you haven't been, is at 303 East Main Street.
Olay. And aren't you going to be the designated sharing them with all of us here at the station then, if you're going to go and you're going to learn them? And then,
oh gosh, well.
Salsa-licious. We'll talk about that later. In the meantime, now that's a great suggestion, Sarah. I'm suggesting a really special informal gathering on Sunday afternoon, and that's the communal celebration of Charlotta Janson's Threads of a Story, the Freedom Writers and Bus Boycotters exhibits, very final day at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. We had Charlotta in here before the celebration began, and now this Sunday, noon to five, if you haven't seen the remarkable collection, it's really a great opportunity to do that well. But there's a whole a celebration of the exhibit, what it means to the community, and then at 2:00 there's a community singing of those very freedom songs that the exhibit portrays in its paintings, mm-hmm. with Carol Butler and Chief Condra Ridley. So it's a wonderful opportunity to salute the whole movement, and art-centrically, to be sure, admission's free. That's at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art on Sunday between noon and 5, and that community sing is at 2. So something to consider for Sunday. Mm-hmm. And now we better bundle up and let midwinter merriment begin. It's Midday Matters, Friday Art-Centric, and we have DID's own little energizer snow bunny, Tenna Winker, here, all ready to winterville.
Oh, yes, we are ready to take a break from winter and have some fun downtown.
What a great time in this city, and often all around the January, early February world. It just gets quiet and nothing happens and kind of gloomy. And here we have a whole winter festival, shortened to winterville, going on.
Yeah, yeah. We started this last year. Actually, Chuck, who's here with us, came to us with this great idea, and they've already had a winter carnival going, and we just expanded it out in many ways, like the model that we use for Fright Night and Holiday Fest, where multiple organizations plan events at the same time, which is the whole idea of last mm-hmm. Saturdays, too, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is that we all do something at once and entice people downtown, so that if you want to explore different places, there's a lot going on, and there'll be something that everybody can enjoy, and that's definitely true tomorrow, because there's even a sporting event to go with all of the art-centric stuff.
Oh, so my goodness.
It really is something for everyone, kind of winter break.
And I'd also like to thank Chuck Redinger from a Park and Recreation's Community Center for taking time from your busy pre-winterville day and joining us, Chuck.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
And as Tenna said, you must be the veteran, certainly in this room, of all things Midwinter Festival downtown Fort Wayne. And before I think we go any farther, if you would be so kind, tell us about the Fort Wayne Park. List the Fort Wayne Park, the downtown parks here in Fort Wayne.
There are several. You know, I work at our community center downtown, and we also have the Botanical Conservatory, and obviously there's Headwaters Park right there, and the Old Fort is a park as well. And little known too is even across from the library is one of the littlest parks that we have is Salem Park, and it's just that is a Fort Wayne park. In Parkview Field, there's Robert E. Myers Park. So there's lots of different parks downtown, and with lots of activities. And I there's so many I keep forgetting. Fryman Square.
That's what the park. I mean, the archetypal park we might say.
And the courthouse green as well. Mm-hmm. So. I didn't bring a comprehensive list, but I just have to sit here and start thinking a little bit about all the different parks that are right downtown Fort Wayne.
And a lot of these are going to be, certainly a bustle just by their closeness to things happening in Winterville. So back to telling us what's what and when on Winterville.
Well, yeah, like, for example, at Headwaters Ice Rink tomorrow, during the afternoon from 11 to 10 is the skating hours, like 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. is the normal hours. But at 1:15, 2:15, 3:15, and 4:15, there will be skating exhibitions from the local figure skating club. I think that'll be really exciting for those who want to come down and skate. Then they have something to inspire them and maybe get some ideas on how to skate a little better. So that's just one of the park things that's happening. Chuck, you want to tell us a little about the ice carvings?
Sure. The ice carving is a wonderful part of the event that we were able to include last year, and we have a professional ice carvers that will come in and create these wonderful masterpieces of art right before your eyes, and it's really kind of amazing. As last year, going into this. The event was new to us, and I was a little worried about the logistics and how this all works, but they did a wonderful job of just taking just concepts and creating these magnificent sculptures within a few hours, and they just transform before your eyes. They start out with a 300-pound block of ice, and they start cutting pieces off and gluing it to a different section, and they have all kinds of chainsaws and carving tools that the chips fly.
Now, you make it sound awfully easy, but but these are experts that are these local folks, participants, or do they original? Do they come in from Joss to do ice carving?
One is from Ohio. One is from the Fort Wayne area. He is up north in Huntington, but these guys go to competitions and go to several ice carving events. And I think Tenna can attest to, it's like you kind of just give them a concept and they just make it happen.
Yeah, I at the Arch United Center tomorrow at 4, they're supposed to start on our carving. The DID is sponsoring one. And because you know how we love to support buskers and Busker Fest and Busker Square, and we are always asking people to come perform on the streets downtown for vitality. So we're going to have them carve a few buskers. And all I asked is, you know, give me an idea for a street performer. And he came up with these great ideas. So you'll have to come see what he puts together. But that's just one of, what, 4, I think, locations?
There'll be 5. Yeah, we'll have. We're going to start with our first carving will be at the corner of Fryman, or in Fryman Square at the corner of Clinton and Main. So we'll get a lot of visibility. Will be our first carving. It's sponsored by Design Collaborative, and then from there they'll move on to the library, and they'll have a nice big 3-block carving they're going to create, and then they move on to the Botanical Conservatory, then at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they'll start over at the community center. And as Tenna said, the final one will be 4 o'clock at the Arch United Plaza.
I would like to remind everybody that this is Midday Matters, Friday Art Centric, and being the last Friday, we are talking about all the wonderful things happening on the Downtown Improvement District's last Saturday celebration. And in particular, it is Winterville out there. We would encourage you to call if you have any questions or comments, and that's 452-1185, or you can leave your comment or question on our Facebook page, and that is at Midday Matters. And I also have, I think that we had some inside information when we enjoyed speaking with Mitch Shepard from the Botanical Conservatory a week or two ago here on Midday Matters. The Botanical Conservatory would be the one place where you can be inside watching ice carvers outside. Is that confirm or deny that one?
Oh, she definitely wants it to work that way, because they found last year that people were enjoying standing in that gorgeous glass foyer and watching the ice carvings outside. It was pretty cold last year, but that was a good thing. And it's going to be cold enough again this weekend, so we don't have to worry about the ice melting while they're carving. That's a good thing.
And that's kind of fun. Even at a Winterville festival, you can actually get a little bit of jungle adventure going there, because they are, that's all part of Winterville. I mean, you can still enjoy the jungle adventure at the Botanical Conservatory. And also, won't there be, there's a snow and a snowmaking?
The Botanical Conservatory will have a snowmaking. They're going to make snow without. I was over there the other week and kind of talking to the people that will be doing that, and they have a really neat way of making snow without being outside. It should be lots of fun.
Well, what else can we expect then?
Well, there are activities at Science Central from 10 to 5. They're going to make glacial gack, and they're going to try tasty liquid nitrogen ice cream.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, and then they have half-price admission tomorrow, so that'll be very nice if you want to get down to Science Central. There are also activities at the Youth Theater. Is going to be doing multiple performances throughout the day. They'll go to the Community Center at 3. They're going to pop up at the Arts United Center at 5. And they're doing a teaser of that Oliver play that they're going to talk about in the second half of the show. So I won't go into that too much. There are other things going on in the morning at 11 a.m. at the Hour Center. Arch is going to give a presentation on the how-tos of restoring historic interiors. So if you have an old home or you like to, you know, do decorations that are more antique-oriented, they will tell you how to restore your home. That's at 11. It's a free lecture, and so that ought to be very interesting. The Cathedral Bookstore downtown is having a discount sale all day in honor of Winterville for us. So I think
that's a nice inclusion, and again, a lovely structure. It will be chilly. We already talked about that, but it sounds like there's warm hearts and warm spirits and places to duck into, and ice carving going out in the elements and everything else, and then sure, a walk around town and to get down to the cathedral and the museum, and then there's a sale once you get there.
Yep, at the museum.
It's quite a motivation.
You know, take a little souvenir after you tour inside, and it's a very interesting place if you haven't been down to the museum there at the cathedral. The Museum of Art, I know you mentioned the exhibit. So tomorrow they're offering Dollar Days as part of the last Saturday.
Bargains galore downtown.
Yeah, so it's only a dollar to get into the Museum of Art tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. That's a great, that is very nice. It never ceases to amaze and impress Sarah and myself, just the generosity and the good sportitude that happens for these last Saturdays. And it seems like here in the winter months, when it is sort of the antisocial time, so many social activities going on.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about the evening activities at Arch United, and then I think Chuck needs to tell us about Lawton Park and the Old Fort and the penguin contest.
Oh my
contest.
Gosh, yes.
There's more
penguin,
in the center.
Penguin competition, okay.
But I can tell you, in the evening part at Arts United, from 4 to 8, there are multiple things going on. At 4 is the ice carving. At 5 is the teaser with Oliver, the little preview play skit. At 6, there's going to be a teaser for the Fort Wayne Fringe Festival, which is the following weekend. But they're having a few of the performers come out and give us a little sampling of what to expect.
So it's a pop-up fest preview.
Yes.
Oh, how clever.
Yeah, and that's at the Arch United Center. Mm-hmm. And then after that is the Arch United Fund Drive kickoff, which, you know, they're going to be raising $1 million for arts and culture in the community. So that's a great thing to come and help them start. And then that does end with Salsa Loca. And the cool thing about what Lori's doing is the beginning is a little brief class, and then they dance. And you get to actually practice and play with the people who are already knowing how to dance. So it really becomes very interactive and fun. And last year I drove by in the evening and they had the colored lights going up in the gallery and people were dancing. You could see them from outside. Oh, it's the neatest thing. So you'll have to come down and do that.
It sounds like there's a whole day. And Sarah, you can even be our own personal mini leader if you get down there for that preview salsa class. But seriously, it is Winterville this weekend in downtown Fort Wayne. And this is Midday Matters Friday Art Centric, and we are happy to be hearing all about it with Tenna Winker, the brains and often the brawn of Downtown Improvement District. And we are also grilling Chuck Redinger on what's happening in his neck of the park and recreation world for Winterville.
As Tena mentioned, we have a lot of activities going on, and one element that we added last year and will continue on this year is we'll actually have a rugby game going on at Lawton Park.
Oh my goodness. And, is that normal rugby season? I guess rugby players are stout-hearted.
They are very stout-hearted. last year when they approached us about having this game, they said this is an annual game they like to play, and it doesn't matter the weather. So the Fort Wayne Rugby Club will be taking on the IPFW team in their annual polar bear rugby game. And that will start at 1 o'clock. And we'll have that down on one of the Lawton Park fields. And I guess the weather does, temperature doesn't matter. The weather doesn't matter. They're hardy individuals, and they'll go at it.
And even if you have to break the ice in the scrum bucket, the game will go on.
The game will go on.
That's what I'm hearing. And isn't there a curling also happening in the downtown area?
Yeah, as part of the community center's event, we will have curling, but it won't be on ice. I think we have the Fort Wayne Curling Club. They're a great organization. We'll come down and kind of give everyone the tips and information on how to curl. And they will come in and they have a nice indoor curling set and give you kind of a taste of it. In a safe atmosphere. I've been on the ice curling with them before, and you probably want, it's probably good to try it a little bit indoors first just to get a feel for it before you hit the ice.
But what a great experience.
It is a great experience, and like I said, we'll also have the Fort Wayne Youth Theater coming out at 3, and on our event, in our venue, we'll have a lot of kids' activities, a lot of free kids' crafts and games. We'll have ice fishing at the community center and free wagon rides going on. Little snacks and hot chocolate, and we even have, this is Pinewood Derby season for the Boy Scouts, and Phil's Hobby Shop will be bringing out a Pinewood Derby track for to either bring your own car, or they'll have some cars for you to try as well.
You guys really are thinking of everything to put the win in. It is the win-win in Winterville.
If you have a question or comment, 260-452-1185 is the number to call. You can always post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more of Art Centric on WBOI in just a few moments.
Because of my unfortunate situation with Avery, I'm alone. And I know, of course, that you're not seeing anyone. Therefore, I've decided that you and I should become friends with benefits.
No, thank you, please.
The final episode of 30 Rock airs next week. On the next Fresh Air, we feature interviews with Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin, and Tracy Morgan. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Despite the horrors of the Holocaust, many concentration camp prisoners managed to compose music on scraps of paper. A music scholar has collected and published thousands of these works.
They wanted to leave a testament. They leave to us music.
That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Plan to retire on your terms. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on NIPR's homepage at nipr.fm. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Niswonger Performing Arts Center, presenting jazz artists The Rippingtons with Chris Brownlee, a Fort Wayne native at Niswonger Performing Arts Center, Van Wert, Ohio, Saturday, January 26, 7:30 p.m. Tickets at npacvw.org.
Welcome back to Friday Art Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. Questions and comments, give us a call. The phone lines are wide open, 260-452-1185. You can always post a message on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. We're talking about the last Saturday of the month, and there's a lot going on. We have Tenna Winker in from the Downtown Improvement District. Tenna, what else haven't we talked about, and what can we fit in the last 5 minutes of today's first half of the show?
Well, there's a couple of things. During the day, throughout the day at the Hour Center, I know we mentioned the arts lecture. Mm-hmm. Pembroke Bakery will be there, of course. You can also go in there and watch the ballet performing and rehearsing for some of their upcoming things. You can see throughout the day, they have viewing windows into the five studios that they have at their location there at the Hour Center. So you'll be able to see throughout the day little four-year-old kids in their classes all the way up to the professional dancers who, you know, are the only paid dancers in the state, I believe, for ballet. So we really are proud to have them. The History Center is half price, as usual, on the last Saturday. And then if I can pass it over to Chuck, he's got a couple more parks things that are going on.
The Old Fort will be having the Nouvel Annee event. It is a French military event going on mm-hmm. at the Old Fort, and so you can go out there and experience life in the 1700s. They do have a warming hut, so you can warm up, but it's always fun to go down to the fort sure. whenever they have one of these events. And we also have a contest going on called the Penguin Hunt. And at all these venues, we have a penguin. And if you go to any of the locations and pick up an entry form or online at the FortWayneParks.org, you can go around and find the names of all the various penguins around downtown.
And is there a lucky winner, or is this, again, a win-win situation?
It's win-win because you get to go around and see all the wonderful things, but there are some prize packs with various passes from the venues. And the grand prize winner will receive a year-long membership to Science Central.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Now, in addition, if you can't come down during the day with your family for all these great things, there's a great nightlife tomorrow night downtown. At 7, there's the Acoustic Spoken Word Cafe that TRIAC is supporting with Gray Gordon and poet Adrian Curry. There's also an Embassy Theater Fort Wayne Philharmonic's pop concert tomorrow night. That'll be awesome. It starts at 8, and that's Swinging with Sinatra and Dorsey.
Oh, my goodness. That's perfect for a Winter Bowl.
Absolutely. And then there are bands playing at Joe Stabelli's playing jazz guitar at the Gas House. Club Soda has the Eric Clancy Trio. Columbia Street West has the Freak Brothers at 10 p.m. Brass Rail has Kane Marco and Lando at 10 p.m. And then if you're still out at midnight, Reefer Madness is the midnight movie at Cinema Center.
What a way to end Winter Bowl if you haven't rugbyed yourself into pain or guessed the penguins and gone on home. But really, this is like from morning till midnight, something to celebrate.
All day long. And it's all on our website at downtownfortwayne.com. Just look for Last Saturdays. And I think it's up on the Arch United site, too, but it's definitely on the downtownfortwayne.com. It's so much going on that we hardly could touch on it today.
And we certainly thank Chuck Redinger from the Community Center for telling us what's what and letting us know all about the ice carving among all of the excitement that's going on downtown.
Yeah, there is one last time we're going to have a free shuttle that runs around 2 tomorrow night. It only goes from 4 to 8 in the evening, but that will help connect, like if you go to dinner and you want to come back to the Arch United Center or those kind of things, go to one of the clubs and come back. That runs from 4 to 8, and it travels a really simple loop, like from Maine over to Washington and back. And around in a square, it's about every 10 minutes. Very easy.
So snow or not, you don't even have to worry about it. You can take a free shuttle, all part of, the day's pleasure of Winter Bowl for last Saturday.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great day downtown.
It is. Bundle up. Think snow.
Yeah, and definitely come down for the ice carvings this weekend because it looks like the forecast is going to melt them on Tuesday. So you got to come see the carvings. They will be out on the street, so you can drive around tomorrow or Monday night, maybe Tuesday if we're lucky.
Time to take a quick break for the news here on WBOY, but Julia and I will be back with more Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters in just a few moments.
Thank you. Are you working for the weekend? Plug into the Friday Vibe. I'm Bill Forsyth, playing jazz of all types from all eras, plus blues, a little pop, folk, and rock to roll you into the weekend. The Friday Vibe, 7 to 11 on your home for jazz in Northeast Indiana, WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. Former Senator Richard Lugar will join former U.S. Representative Lee Hamilton as a professor in Indiana University's new School of Global and International Studies. The pairing announced on Thursday in Bloomington gives the school two of the foremost U.S. authorities on foreign relations. Lugar will also donate his Senate papers to the Herman B. Wells Library on the Bloomington campus. Lugar last month announced plans to run a Washington internship program for the University of Indianapolis and to lecture there as well. He also joined the Transatlantic German Marshall Fund as a senior fellow. Its new Lugar Diplomacy Institute will work to improve communications between Congress and the Washington Diplomatic Corps. The Republican left the Senate this month after serving six terms representing Indiana. Senate leaders say the governor's proposal to use one-time surplus revenue funds to pay for road maintenance and construction poses long-term issues. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on proposals for more permanent funding sources.
If Indiana's budget surplus exceeds 12.5% of the total budget, Governor Mike Pence's proposal would allocate half that money for transportation funding. But Senate President Pro Tem David Long says that plan doesn't create a permanent solution.
It doesn't totally kick the can down the road as far as getting some money, because I think clearly you can get some money in there that isn't there today, but the question is, it will be there next year or the year after if our surpluses dry up, and they could very easily.
Senate Minority Leader Tim Lannon says one of his caucus's proposals would divert some of the state's sales tax on gasoline to local governments.
In 2014 alone, about an additional $50 million that would be available to local roads and streets to help them.
Lannon says another proposal would create low-interest loans for local governments to use on transportation projects. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And a proposal adding mental health counselors to the list of those who could face felony child seduction charges has been approved by the Indiana Senate. Senators voted 47-0 on Thursday in favor of the bill, which would prohibit counselors, psychologists, or psychiatrists from having sexual relationships with current or former patients who are 16 or 17 years old. Current law covers only school employees and military recruiters who have such relationships with minors older than Indiana's 16-year-old age of consent. Vigo County Prosecutor Terry Modisit told a Senate committee this month that he was frustrated when he could not file felony charges against a therapist who had such a relationship with a 16-year-old patient. The bill now goes to the House for consideration. You're listening to Midday Matters Arts Centric here on WBOI.
Welcome back to Friday Art Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. The time is 12:35. If you have any questions or comments during today's program, 260-452-1185 is the number to call. You can always post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio with my Art Centric partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And right now, it's a sweetheart of a dose of drama times three that we're administering, and for that, who else could we have on board besides First Press Theater's dramaturgical doctor, Tom Hoffrichter?
I never actually finished my dissertation, I hate to admit it. So.
Or your internship either, so like, ABD.
I got this job in Fort Wayne and just never quite got it written. But thank you for the promotion.
Thank you for being here, and what is the talk on the catwalk this month, Tom?
Well, currently, there's one production in town open, and it's called Almost Maine, and it's at the Arena Dinner Theater. Almost Maine's a really interesting, kind of quirky little play about love in a place that's almost up to the Canadian border in Maine. It's a series of vignettes. It's a lovely little play. It opened last weekend. There's a performance tonight and Saturday, and then next weekend, the first and second. The weekend following that, we have a huge extravaganza going on at the United Arts Center. We were talking about this before. We think it's the first collaboration ever between two Fort Wayne theater companies. The IPFW Department of Theater and the Youth Theater are putting on Oliver, February 8th through the 17th. We'll be talking more about that today with artistic director and chair of IPFW Theater, John O'Connell, and he's directing that production. That pretty much takes us through February. Then most of the theater companies are on kind of a hiatus, regrouping after the holidays, mm-hmm. All for One has A Little Princess opening February 22nd. Civic opens Drowsy Chaperone, a wonderful musical, March 2nd. At First Presbyterian Theater, where I feel like I always am since I spend a lot of time there, we open a really wonderful, quirky comedy called House of Blue Leaves that is being directed by IPFW Professor Craig Humphrey. But today we're going to talk about Oliver with John O'Connell. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. Glad to be here.
How did this collaboration happen? Let's start with, how did the idea occur? Well, what was the genesis?
I'd like to say it occurred in Henry's bar, but that isn't really what happened.
Well,
I thought it did.
Most things
Leslie
that
informed
to,
me that
most things that have
remember.
To do with theater
yeah,
occur in
Henry's bar.
Yeah.
No. It happened. Leslie Horman, my colleague in this endeavor, has a radio program, a morning radio program, and I was being interviewed on that program in my very first year here in 2007, and I said one of my goals as a chair of IPFW would be to increase our outreach into the community, and I would want to do that by doing a collaboration. And after that interview, I mentioned that I had always wanted to do the production Oliver, and she said she'd been thinking about that ever since, and then a year ago she was appointed the executive director of Fort Wayne Youth Theater, and we got together and started talking, and lo and behold, mm-hmm. here we are in this incredible endeavor.
Well, here, like a year and a half later, the idea came from the two of you talking.
Right.
Essentially, why? What things did you hope each institution to be provided from this collaboration?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to put a finger on those goals. Number one, the job of IPFW is to have a presence in our community in Fort Wayne. And the Fort Wayne and the theater department, while we have a wonderful facility on campus, we haven't been out in the community. The last time was at the Embassy Theater before I was here. They did a large production there. So we haven't been literally moving our production outside of our department other than we do a high school tour during the spring of 15 high schools. But so I wanted to do something down at Arts United or at the Embassy Theater to get a presence downtown. I wanted to work with another theater company in town, and I wanted it to be pretty large scale.
Mm-hmm.
And those things came together. Then the advantage to youth theater is, number one, our resources.
Mm-hmm.
We have significant resources put towards our production. And then these kids get the opportunity to work with a pretty professional level staff. I'm a professional director. Our designers are our professional designers. They're working with adult cast members as well as college students who want to be professional actors and mm-hmm. dancers. So the level for the students is increased.
Let's start with the designers, because you're right. You guys have an amazing mm-hmm. Set of professionally working designers mm-hmm. who teach, but they also go outside the community and do a lot of work in the professional world of theater. And that's true of John himself, because he's often goes out and directs in the professional world. But you got Mark Delancey, who's doing the set, and Craig Humphrey doing the costume.
Amber Klinker, one of our students, is also one of the costume designers. We have a cast of 50, which is huge, and we have over 70 costumes to design. So Craig needed some assistance, so he mm-hmm. brought in one of his graduating costume designers. She's doing all of the pickpockets, the students, the Artful Dodger, and all of the youth.
And let me remind our listeners that we are talking here on Midday Matters Friday Art Centric all about the wonderful collaboration between Fort Wayne Youth Theater and IPFW's Theater Department on the musical Oliver. How cool is that? How fantastic is that? How big of a challenge is that to get this all together?
Well, it's really big because we have 50 cast members, 26 of them are children under the age of 11 or 12, and we're building a set on our campus, which is Fitting the Arts United Stage, which is 60 feet wide, and it's a very huge rendition of London. We have to build that in our stage. We've actually surpassed the capacity on our stage, so we have to take some of it apart and move it to continue building. We'll load all of that onto trucks, and we'll take it down next weekend, and we'll have a load in so that the lights, the sound, the costumes, the set will all be loaded in next Saturday, and we'll take the entire day re-putting the set back up. So that alone is a huge endeavor.
Sure.
And then when you add the orchestra.
Construct and a reconstruct,
When you add the orchestra, when you add the backstage help, when you add the cast itself, on that Sunday of next week, we're feeding 90 people dinner. So this Oliver production will take basically 90 people every day.
So you're going to have basically 24 hours to rebuild it? Is that, am I understanding?
We're going to have less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
We're putting in at 10 o'clock, and I've told everybody that I want to have a sing-through with the orchestra at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Wow.
So actually a little over 24
hours. I was out and out at IPFW and in Williams Theater, and those of you who have seen that, it's a pretty sizable stage, and I couldn't get past anything because it was chock full of scenery that I had to see Mark Delancey for something, and I was like, this is all for Oliver. He says, yeah, we gotta get a couple of trucks and get it loaded. Mm-hmm. So it
was London through and through. Mm-hmm. We would like to remind our listeners that if you have a question or a comment or an insight on this wonderful production of Oliver that is being readied even as we speak, it sounds like, you can give us a call at 452-1185 or email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm and or go on our Facebook page, our Midday Matters Facebook page, and I think somebody has left a comment, haven't they, Sarah?
Patrick wrote that he was really excited about this collaboration in production. He says, my son Wyatt is one of the orphans, and I have to say that Leslie, John, and the rest of the crew have made this one of the most impressionable times in his life. They're all working very hard, and I hope the city embraces this for what it is, part of the wonderful artistic diversity that can be found here in Fort Wayne.
I got to tell you, these 24 children are really putting in an extraordinary effort, and their parents are dedicated to the process. We've been in rehearsal since 2 weeks before Christmas.
Okay.
And you asked me for one of the challenges. That's one of the large challenges, is just the rehearsal process. Because I've got kids, the youngest is six, and you know, they need to rehearse about 4:30 to 6:30. Well, my college kids, and I've got four community members, they're not available till 6 or 6:30. And then we have two Olivers, which we'll talk about in a minute. I can only keep them till about 8:30. So there's three rehearsal blocks that I have to fit myself, Leslie into, my choreographers. So just the rehearsal process has been sort of challenging and daunting to some extent. We're now merged down at Arts United, but we still can only rehearse like 5 to 9.
And I know these everybody, but the youth in this case are certainly veterans of the stage because they are part of youth theater, but not this stage and not this scope of a production.
Exactly, not the scope of production, although they do some pretty spectacular stuff in youth theater. Yeah,
thinking of the challenges of it all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've got me hollering at them. I'm not used to that. So, you know, out of the 24 orphans who are really in scene one, I mean, the workhouse orphans are basically done after the first scene. They have two big songs and big dances to do. But out of that number, we picked 7 pickpockets who are 11 to 13 years old.
Okay.
And those pickpockets, those 11-year-old boys, have learned, I think, 5 or 6 full-fledged songs and full dance numbers. Completely challenging and beyond what they've had to do before. And these kids are really showing up. They are really doing it. And the mentoring that's going on between my, I'll be in rehearsal with somebody and I'll look over and I'll see my college kids running through the next dance number with the 11-year-olds to make sure that they get it right when we get in the rehearsal hall or we do it again, you know, we get ready to do it. So there's a real sense of ownership among my college kids with regard to the youth and making sure that they stay in it and they stay part of it and that they look as good as 11-year-olds as these 21-year-old dancers are. And they are really meeting that challenge.
Well, and that's terrific too, because most of us, when we were 18 to 22 and were studying theater, envisioned a career basically in a professional theater acting. But most of us, you and I know, end up in some form or another teaching. Mm-hmm. And yeah. it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So these young kids are getting the benefit of the experience from the older students, but the students are also getting a chance to learn how to talk and communicate and pass what they've learned on to another generation, which is what most of us who do theater end up actually doing.
Yeah, two of our students in particular, Riley Lorenzini and Ben Burcott, I asked for some Leslie told me one time after rehearsal, she said, you know, I have these 24 orphans by myself in that darn third role. I can't keep my eye on that third role, and they're not getting it right. I need some help. I said, well, I probably have help. So I went to rehearsal that night, and I asked the college kids if there's anybody who could start coming at 4:30 every day to help Leslie. Well, four people volunteered, and Riley and Ben I assigned, and they went to every, they've been at every orphan rehearsal thereafter to assist Leslie. She's like, it's all of a sudden I have, I'm threefold with two more adults to help with these 24 mm-hmm. kids. So it's been terrific.
And how enriching for everybody. Of course, ultimately the audience, but, and the, yeah. of course you, the director, as you're getting all of this together, but for the, those doing the mentoring and those receiving the yeah. mentoring, what a wonderful experience.
Yeah. And we haven't cut anything. I mean, there are some long dance breaks in this, and sometimes, Tom will know, mm-hmm. if you don't have the dancers, you're like, okay, take 15 measures yeah. out of that dance break. We haven't cut one dance okay. break. I mean, these people are dancing. Brittany Coughlin, one of our choreographers, said to me after the first dance rehearsal, she said, John, how exciting. You have some freshmen who can really dance. I said, I know, we've really got a great class. So she said, I am really going to give it to them. So I think the audience is going to be really surprised by the amount of dance that's in the show and the quality of it.
Speaking of the show, I know that Oliver is based on one of the most beloved of Dickens' pieces, and I think it was one of the first successful to be put, you know, that worked as a play and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, there has to be a big attraction in doing it, and challenges as well, but what does it mean to you as a director to be able to present this to Fort Wayne?
Well, directors, I work professionally, as Tom said, and, mm-hmm. and when you work professionally, you don't get hired very often for the big scope shows. You're brought in for the 7 or 8 person comedy, or I've done a lot of Shakespeare, which is 12 or 15 people, but generally I don't get hired in for a cast of 50 for a musical. And as a director, I like that challenge. I don't, mm-hmm. my cast doesn't believe it sometimes when my head is spinning around and I'm yelling at the top of my throat. They don't believe that I'm enjoying it. But as a director, the challenge of merging the design, merging the youth theater, having 50 people on stage, being concerned about the scene changes, where is the orchestra going to go? When is that light going to go off? When is the haze going to happen? All of that is why we're directors. Because our art happens before opening night.
Mm.
When I work professionally, as Tom knows, I take my check and I go home. I'm done professionally. So my art happens in the rehearsal hall, and the more components that I have to merge into a piece of artwork is me being able to be more the artist that I am.
Well, and that's one of your true strengths, because you are the chair of a department, which means basically all the moving pieces of the Department of Theater, Jono makes sure that they work together and are working correctly. And now he's got a 1-year appointment as the dean.
Interim
dean of the VPA.
College of Visual and Performing Arts.
And,
yeah.
And once again, you have to see bigger pictures, and you have to be able to make sure all these things are working together, mm-hmm. which I think you do a really wonderful
Thanks, Tom.
Job of.
I appreciate that.
And Oliver, in particular, a musical where you have 50 people on stage, where you have, probably 12 sets?
We actually are doing a unit set, mm-hmm. with just little pieces moving in and out.
Moving in and
yeah,
out.
We did have, the original design was very mobile and lots of things moving, and mm-hmm. I've been through that before, and the fact that we move into Arts United on a Saturday and we have to be ready on a Sunday, I said, you know what? I can't spend a whole day worried about whether or not that periacta is going to turn around. I can't do that. I'm going to have to worry about placement of dancers, orchestra, et cetera. I can't worry about. So mm-hmm. if it's just a bed coming in and some furniture, that's all I want to have happen. Mm-hmm. We're flying in a fair amount of things from the fly rail. But no, the set won't have that many moving parts, because I know the nightmare that can cause in the rehearsal process.
Absolutely. We were talking about costumes. Are all those being created out of whole cloth? So we're not just talking about going out and finding 100 costumes. We're talking about building 100
costumes.
Well,
I would say that we're pulling, the chorus is being pulled by our stock. Mm-hmm. But all of the major characters, there's 18 costumes being made for the primary characters that were designed by Craig, are being all built by our costume shop.
Okay.
The orphans, funny enough, we sent the pants home with five parents. And by the way, there's still a parent that owes us some pants. We need those.
If you're out there, bring those pants in tonight.
So, yeah, we knew we had to make matching costumes for 24 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we, our costume shop cut them all at, you know, basically sent home pieces that just had to be sewn together. And before Christmas, five families took home two big bags of pants.
There's a blessing.
Well, it's what youth theater brings to the table. Sure. We don't have a volunteer base at the theater department, but boy, does youth theater have a volunteer base. And those parents are really willing to do that, and also they're going to help us load in and do the set. And so that aspect of youth theater has been fantastic. And I just have to say, working with Leslie has been terrific, because I don't have children. I said I would do it if there was a child wrangler, and she's the child wrangler. And she's choreographed all the orphans, and she calls herself child wrangler, assistant director, and that's what she's been.
How many kids have you worked with before? I mean, it sounds like
the largest cast, I did a professional production of The King and I, but okay. I only took the job because they had a hired child wrangler.
Yeah.
So those 16 children were brought on, I staged them, and the child wrangler took them off.
Yeah, but even that, they're kind of there, but they're not, I mean, Oliver, they're essential to
Well, you
to
know,
the
it's surprising,
King
they're actually, they're really at the beginning. Those orphans kind of disappear after that.
Yeah.
The pickpockets, on the other hand, those seven pickpockets are part of the whole story.
So they set the mood and flair and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, you're in the middle of it, and oftentimes we don't realize we've learned stuff that we've done until it's over. But have you had any revelations about working with children? I mean, has it taught you?
Absolutely.
What has it taught you about what you do and what you will continue to do once this production
actually,
is up and you move on to your next one?
It's impressed upon me what I thought when I arrived here in 2007. I was so thrilled that the youth theater existed, because people think that theater's dying in America, and it will. It will die in America if organizations like the youth theater don't continue to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because the effort that they do and the classes that they offer and the programs that they do, I am amazed that when I look over, a lot of those pickpockets are thrilled to be in it. And I'll look over and I'll be doing a song with the adults that they're not in. And I'll tell you, half of them are lying there just tuned to the rehearsal process. They're not off running around, fooling around. I have 11-year-old boys sitting stage side wishing they were in that number. I actually added them to Pa, the bar scene at the top of Act One. At the last verse, they're going to stick their head up like the pickpocket snuck into the bar, you know, because they're all over there watching that choreography and singing the song. And I could see how sad they were that they weren't in it, that I decided to add them, make it up and put them in there. But that has inspired me, that there are 11-year-olds who are interested in theater and not sitting there playing a video game because they're not in rehearsal.
Sure, and not only will they treasure this moment forever, as did our comment that we had earlier, but you're encouraging their performance as well as their attendance to all things theatrical, starting at 11 years old now, and how must that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel good, but I can't wait till next week when they really see that we have a crew and things have to fly in and set pieces are going to slide in and out and they're going to have to move and get out of the way. And I think that when that scope gets added, again, it's just going to press upon them. They're in something that they haven't had the opportunity to do before.
Because I would imagine once you get to tech, I mean, you've been, the kids are doing the 4:30 to 6:30, but once you get to that tech week, they're there.
They are, which is a little bit of a, for the orphans, Leslie has to have parents involved in the, because they have to go away. They do their first scene, and then what do we do with 24 kids for the next 2.5 hours? So there's planning movies and food, and then we bring them out for the chorus call, for the curtain call. We got to figure out what to do with them during that. But again, those pickpockets, and then there's a couple of the orphans, young women who are older of the orphans. I think they're in their 12 or 13, and I feel bad because they've now. They're like, do I have to do this song again? Really, we're going to sing Food, Glorious Food again? So I've given them I've added them to the Oompa Pa when the pickpockets. I've added a couple girls up there because they're so good and they're so they want to participate so badly. I just keep trying to find things for them to do.
But that, for me, is part of the learning process too, because what I find when I worked with high school students and younger students is they learn it, they get it known just before performance, and so the performances are all new and exciting. But what people really do who are good in theater is you know it, and you know it backwards and forwards, and then you have to repeat it as though it's the first time.
Right, right.
And that sounds like they're being taught that.
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah.
So we could go on talking about this fantastic production as well as everything dramatically related, except time will not permit. Mm-hmm. So why don't you get Tom, work your magic, and tell us the whole rundown and then a recap of
and where to get tickets
for Oliver excitement. Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you want to see a theater tonight or next week, you should call Arena Dinner Theater. I've heard it's a lovely production of Almost Maine. Actually, the gentleman that played George Bailey for us is in it, and reports are it's terrific. And then February 8th through the 17th, two weekends, probably the big spectacular of the year, Oliver at the United Arts Center, 260-422-4226. That's easy to remember, 422-4226.
That's the that Arts Ticks.
That's the box office.
Don't call IPFW box office.
Correct.
They'll just transfer
They're sending it through there. Mm-hmm. And basically, the Fort Wayne Youth Theater has a website, so if you're driving and can't remember later, the 422-4226, go to Youth Theater's website, because that's where I found that number in about 20 seconds right before this show.
And there are evening performances the weekend of February 8th and 9th, 14th and 15th?
8th, 9th, and 10th, which is a Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m., and Sunday, the 10th, at 2 p.m.
Okay.
And then the following weekend is 14, which is a Thursday, 15 Friday, 16 Saturday at 8 p.m., and the 17th, which is a Sunday at 2 p.m.
Yeah, we have two matinees. We don't normally do that, but we're doing two matinees, the 10th and the 17th.
Great.
Support for Midday Matters on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, offering opportunities to volunteer and make an impact on a child's life by mentoring or tutoring uweducationnetwork.org. And support is also provided by Nyswanger Performing Arts Center, presenting jazz artists The Rippingtons and Chris Brownlee, a Fort Wayne native at Nyswanger Performing Arts Center, Van Wert, Ohio, Saturday, January 26, 7:30 p.m. Tickets at npacvw.org. Just an update on Julia's art pick, which was the Charlotta Jansen's final day at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art on Sunday. Charlotta said that she will be attending the community singing on Sunday, 2 p.m. at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art electronically. So that's something exciting for anyone that's going to be going there on Sunday at 2 p.m. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1 and streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.